find those things of peace that bring me peace, and I do those things, whatever it is. Now I meditate, right? It's something that I have been ages, bro. Right? So any little thing that can bring me peace, I'm gonna hold on to those things and, you know, keep that. And that's what gives me inspiration.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 70. Wow. Episode 70 of the Mad Happy Podcast. Today, we have an awesome episode with myself and musical artist Roy Woods. Before we get into it, just wanted to let you guys know that we did have some audio issues here. Sadly, I feel like I hear podcast hosts say that all the time, and this is the first time that I've had to say it. So one out of every 70. Not too bad of a clip, but thank you for your patience and bearing with us. Definitely encourage you guys to stick it through, even though it's not up to our usual audio quality. So just wanted to give you a little heads up on that. I think it's more so in the back half of the conversation. So just a little heads up there. This was a really cool conversation for me to have. I've been a fan of Roy and his music for probably over 5 years now, honestly, since one of his first projects, Waking at Dawn, back in 2015. He's a Toronto-based artist who really rose to prominence back in the middle of last decade when he got a Drake feature and he signed to OVO, and there was a lot of hype around him, really when that whole sort of dancehall, like reggae, R&B movement was really happening in music, largely due to Drake, a kind of putting on that sound and a lot of those artists that were really paving the way in that sound. After coming out of the gates, like really strong, Roy definitely slowed down a bit with his career, you know, hasn't dropped a full length LP in 5 years and chose to come on the show to really talk about what changed in his life, you know, what he realized here, just about his kind of reflective story. He took off like a rocket ship and things moved really, really fast for him. I think too fast, honestly. And he was super open about his mental health and his depression that he struggled with and his crippling anxiety that he still deals with to this day. His family of origin is a really great story with his mother and sisters and just kind of how he grew up. I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy it. And again, just another amazing reminder of how our circumstances are all so different, but there's still so many ways that we can really connect with each other and relate to each other. And I know that regardless of where you're listening or what your story is or who you are, that you'll be able to find something in this episode that you can connect to, that you can learn from, that you can relate to. And I think that's what's so special about this show and so special about all of us and all of our lives that we live every single day. Really enjoyed doing this one with Roy. It was a special, special conversation. And if anyone can guess what his two mental health hobbies are before they listen, I will be very impressed, because I was really shocked with what he said he does for self-care and to keep his mental health right. So stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy the conversation with Roy. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Roy Woods. I'd love to start at the beginning, kind of your life and where things started for you. I know that you grew up in Toronto, but paint the picture for me a little bit of like your family and kind of where you grew up and like what that environment was like.
I grew up mainly with my mom.
Yeah.
My dad was in and out. We moved out the hood from like Toronto. We went to Brampton, which is like a suburb, but it was mainly like, you know, gentrified. They just took a lot of the people from the hood and they just moved them there. So, yeah, I grew up with my little sister. I got four sisters. One passed away from early birth. She was like 5 months premature. So I never met her. But the other two are my half-sisters from my dad. But I only lived with my little sister. And I'm close with my other. I mean, I'm good with both of them. I'm good with all my sisters. But me, there's only one on my stepfather's side that I really talk to. And that was it for me, you know, just me and my mom. She was always sick. She had fibromyalgia growing up. Still does, but you know, doesn't go away. So she couldn't walk. She was always on disability. So, you know, she couldn't work. She was getting government money my whole life. That's kind of just what it was, you know. And I was just an athlete. My dad played football. Well, he loved football. He wanted me to play football because he moved here. My parents moved in like the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
So football was the thing that caught his love. So that was my first love. before music. You know, that was the thing that me and my dad shared, right?
Yeah.
So growing up, I was always a football fan, played rec ball in the city a little bit, played high school ball. You know, it was just, me and my little sister, just, you know, trying to figure out life because it was very weird. I had to take care of my mom. You know, everything, all the responsibilities were on me at like 8. So my life was different. I didn't really focus on the things other kids were. I couldn't get the PS2. I couldn't get the Xbox. I had like a Sega Saturn. Like I just had to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was always a struggle growing up. Family wasn't always, like, we're always close, but it was always rocky, you know? You know that feeling that it was just always going up and down. You know, the 1 week you get that's good with the family, it's like, oh, well, I already know we're going to have 2 months of just hell with just, you know, being here and, you know, trying to, I don't know, figure out myself when we were both like teenagers and shit. That's, you know, that's mainly what it was. But that's when I found music, you know, trying to, express myself and me trying to learn about who I am and what it is to be, you know, a young adult. All that kind of just inspired me to start making music, tapping in with my feelings because I couldn't really express. So when I made music, people would listen because they didn't want to listen to me when I spoke. So that was kind of my avenue to get people to listen, right?
For sure, man. I mean, I can relate to a lot of your story. Like my dad also left me and my mom after I was like 5 months old, and I moved back with her to Michigan, and we moved in with her mom and my grandma. So I was like kind of raised by a bunch of these like women and like feminine energy similar to you. And then my mom remarried this guy who like I call my dad. He eventually adopted me and stuff, and he had a couple kids from a previous marriage, right? So I also had these siblings that were kind of like half and step, and you know, I always was kind of struggling with like really finding my place or like where do I fit into all this and how do I belong. So I definitely understand what that kind of like a turbulent upbringing is like. But I'm wondering for you, like, I know you said that you didn't really get to express your feelings because you kind of had to grow up so fast, like taking care of your mom and everything like that. Did you notice, like, what was your first real like mental health experience, or when did you notice that like maybe you were having some feelings because of your upbringing or your childhood that like you had to kind of get out and express in some way?
And I knew right away at like 13, a feeling that was just overbearing, and I felt it every day. So I'm like, okay, this must be depression. Like, I was depressed, you know? I told my mom, I'm like, yo, mom, I'm depressed. I didn't know really what it was. I just knew that it was, I guess this is what it is. I don't want to do anything. I feel low every day. There's no motivation for me to want to do anything.
That's amazing to like, to say that, by the way. Like, it's so hard for kids to admit that. Like, you're supposed to be, oh, so happy running around with all the kids and whatever. And especially like your upbringing, I know like mental health for minorities and especially people who aren't from this country, it's a completely different conversation, right? It like seems like something that you're not even allowed to feel. So I can imagine that wasn't easy for you to open up about at the time.
Nah, man, it was not. And that was just me trying to be like honest, open about how I feel. And, you know, going to my mom was always kind of like that, right? She didn't, she grew up mentally ill as well, and we never knew, right? So us trying to explain our own mental illnesses was kind of weird to her because she was already going through her own shit, her own stuff.
Mm.
She never seen anything like that. She didn't want to admit or see a problem even within herself. And that also seemed like that's what started a lot of like internal affairs within my sister and me and our mom, just trying to let her see who we are. And she kind of had this idea of what she wanted us to be because she was so controlled by fears and not wanting other people to, you know, take us away or look at her, not pressure, right? So she had her away as a mom and, you know what I mean? There was a lot, she just tried to, and she did the best she could. It was just, she didn't know how to kind of step back. She kind of always did too much. And that's, it always, you know, stemmed so much problems. But, you know, when I was 13, that's when I knew, you know, and I was like, all right, well.
Yeah.
If I can't go to the doctor, you're not going to believe me about it. I don't know what to do. That's why I started smoking weed.
Yeah. It's so funny to think about like the older generations and like how mental health is changing from generation to generation. And like, even for our parents, it's like they could have real problems or be feeling all types of way, but like never admit it because they didn't want to like be embarrassed for their friends or like make their kids feel bad or like all these things. And I think it's cool how like you guys were actually, I'm sure, like inspired your mom in that way to know that like, yo, like this shit's okay. Like it doesn't mean that we're bad people or we're failures in any way. Like mental health and struggling, like I was saying earlier, is such a natural, normal part of life. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's like so much beauty in that, and it can bring people closer together and have better relationships and all these things. So what did she say whenever you told her that you were depressed in that moment? How did it go?
She's like, no, you're not depressed. You're 13. What do you know about being depressed? I don't know. You know, I'll never forget it. You know what I mean? It was a very, very serious moment. But years later, she got diagnosed with major, severe anxiety and depression. Same with me, too. And then it became chronic. And then it just, you know what I mean? It was crazy. But that was kind of like the open door to us kind of seeing like, okay, like mental health is a thing in our family.
Yeah, it's crazy how biological it is and like how much it really does run in the family. Like my grandmother, I was an alcoholic. Like my dad was an addict. Like I struggle with addiction. And it's like such a generational thing that if you don't really address it and talk about it and do the work, it could continue to plague your family for like decades and like generations and generations. I'm curious for you, like in that moment when you opened up as a 13-year-old and your mom kind of shuts you down saying, no, you don't. Did that kind of force you to be super closed off and maybe just like go focus on football and be like, maybe I don't? Or like, did you kind of keep pushing and like go express that to other people? Or like, what did you do after kind of getting shut down after being vulnerable like that as a kid?
I went to other people.
It's yeah.
It's
amazing.
Out of my home. Yeah. It was friends, it was teachers at school, you know, just any other kind of like elder figure or somebody that I can relate with that can, you know, feel my pain too and or help me understand what I'm going through. And it did keep me closed off from my mom though.
Yeah.
That's what kind of with our relationship and our trust and it just started going down.
Yeah.
Right. But what I did, I just went outside. She didn't like that at all. She hated it because she's like, why aren't you coming to me for things? Right. But,
yeah, I mean, if certain people can't give us what we need, we have to go get it from somewhere else. So, I mean, that makes total sense. It's funny. I feel like I'm super similar to you in the way that I was very like open with my feelings as a young kid and like super sensitive and like didn't have a problem saying how I felt or being vulnerable. And I feel like that's really rare for men, especially. But I think the fact that we both grew up around a lot of women, I'm sure, like really played a part in that and like how we choose to kind of view life is not really traditional of how like you were supposed to like be a man like growing up or shit like that. I feel like has really switched.
Yeah it's very very different for me growing up. Like everybody thought I was kind of soft.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I was never soft. I just expressed myself and I never looked back. I never liked to take shit, right? Everybody always I used to get bullied from like kindergarten up right to like grade 9 grade 10. Everybody thought that they can just pick at me and think that, right, because I'm oversensitive, I'm over emotional. I never knew how to control it, but I was always like, I'm always getting into fights now. I'm always picking fights. I'm always cussing people out. I'm always defending myself. Mm. I had one friend who would always just ride with me. He was always defending me. You know what I mean? So he moved to it. So like, you know, it was everybody. It wasn't just like any one race of kids too. Like it wasn't just the black kids. It was the white kids. It was the Indian kids. It was some Asian kids. It was a variety of all kids. They just wanted to, you know what I'm saying, get at me for things that I didn't understand about.
Yeah. How did you deal with like all that bullying at the time?
I don't know, man. I just kind of kept the push and play football and just it didn't really bother me. Like it bothered me, but I have a mouth.
Yeah.
So I always used to get my mouth, you know what I mean? And
you could chirp back. Shit, yeah.
Yeah. I'm chirping. I didn't care. You know, I'm calling you all sorts of names. Like I didn't care, right? We had to fight a few times. It wasn't crazy. But it was like it was cordial. I just played football.
Yeah,
I was always like to take my anger out that way.
Yeah,
kids really didn't see me play football.
It's so funny how like growing up, it's like, oh, if you're a dude and you're like talking about your feelings or anything, like you're soft. But I feel like now, like the mentality has totally switched, where like vulnerability is actually a huge sign of courage, right? It's like to me, that's what like a real like mature like male can look like in that way, is like someone who owns up to their shit. It's like someone who's soft for me is someone who like is acting like something isn't happening or like is too scared to have a conversation or like express their feelings. Like it's funny, like you were also like playing football at the time, right? Like doing things that are like what dudes are supposed to do or like really like manly or whatever. So like you were really representing kind of both sides and like not just boxing yourself into like one lane, which I think is super cool at the time.
Didn't even know it.
What was the moment where you kind of switched over from football to music, like when you gave up that dream and started to kind of create?
16 is when I really said, all right, because I had 4 concussions. I said, you know what, I don't think I want anymore. I think I want to move on. I think I want to try something else.
Yeah.
And music was a hobby, right? A teacher just told me, hey, do you make music? Because I was singing in the class. I sing in the hallways. I just sing. I didn't make any music. I just sing. She's like, hey, my dad makes music. Not even teaching me, taught me anything. She didn't teach me. I don't even know her name. I can't remember her name. She's like, you know, you should make some music. You should try it out. She records in a studio down at the other city called Saga, Mississauga.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, you can try it out. So I started. That's what made me start engineering myself. I just learned how to do that because I didn't have money to go and pay for an engineer or pay for studio time. So I said, you know what? Let me get a mic. My mom got me the mic, and I just recorded myself, man.
That's crazy. And what was there any like music history in your family, or like were your mom always like bumping something, or like where do you think that singing and just kind of that like rhythm and energy came from for you?
At first, there was no music history that I was familiar with.
Yeah.
I only knew like my uncle that DJ, my dad DJ, but later on I found out my grandma is a singer on my mom's side. She's still alive. She's the only grandma that's alive right now. She's the last one.
Wow.
She still speaks to me on the phone. Oh, in South America. She's not here. She's in South America.
That's incredible. She speaks to me on
the phone. The little strength that she got. I love it.
Dude, I mean, the same way that we say all of those like mental health things get passed down, like so does that, like the talent and like the passion and things like that. I think it's like just as beautiful.
It is, man. It really is, man. Yeah.
So was it something that you really fell in love with right away and just felt so right? Or did it still kind of remain a hobby for a few years until you finished high school and stuff?
Nah, it was. I loved it right away.
Yeah.
It was my escape.
Yeah.
As I was saying, it was the only way people used to listen to me. And people that knew me was like my mom. Used to do a lot of songs about us, and I make her like listen to a lot of other stuff. I came one. Oh, maybe. I don't know. But it was just my way of... That was the only way I could communicate. If I try to say, mom, you are the problem, she never want to hear it.
Mm.
So I put it in the music, and that's the only way she could hear it, right?
Mm.
And that's kind of how I started treating a lot of things just in my life. Just, you know, I would be very expressive after the fact, but
yeah.
It came to a point where, you know, that relationship I had with music and me being able to express myself kind of trickled into me in my relationships with girls and stuff.
Mm.
Where I'm not telling you how I feel.
Yeah.
And... You know what I mean? That's what it just created so much toxicity at the time. I wasn't aware of it, but you know, it just created a terrible habit.
Totally. What do you think it is, both on your mom's side and on your side? Like, why is it so hard for her to have a normal conversation, but she can hear it in a song? Or like, what do you think it is about you that makes it hard to tell someone something, but so much easier to write it down and then play it for them in a song?
The accepting part that this is actually happening.
Yeah.
Or somebody actually said that about you. For me, I just have to. I learned from her and be like, okay, I'm going to just admit what it is, accept this is what I'm going through, this is it, this is me. I can't hide it. And just keep it moving, or else, you know, I'm gonna fight with myself as much as I was fighting with my mom.
No, I think the authenticity and like the vulnerability, I think for me, is what really drew me to your music. Obviously, it's such a crowded, like saturated space, but I think when you hear an artist who's actually saying something about their lives and maybe not just talking about materialistic things or different cloud or flexing in these ways, but really talking about like interpersonal relationships and like self, I think is what made your music like so special. And it was clear off the bat that like you had something to say, like based off your experience, and it wasn't just like the sound alone.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. The fact that my music can be seen as very vulnerable and different, that's kind of what I always strived on, is just being different. I didn't really care about sounding like anybody else and any other artist. I always wanted to kind of stick to myself. And I love that people can see that, you know, I'm just really trying to be the best me, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I feel like even when we were starting the brand, it's like you have an idea of what you want something to be. And then anytime you create art or a product or anything that you put out into the world, you have to kind of go through those moments of like throwing a bunch of shit at the wall. What do I want to do? What lane do I want to go down? And then you put it out and then your art really takes on a life of its own, and then you get to see how people are responding to it. What do they like? What do they don't like? And then you're constantly kind of like molding and evolving it in that way. But things were just moving like so fast. Like you moved downtown and then just like boom, signed, boom, a project drop, boom, on tour. Like you didn't really stop and smell the roses, or like you weren't being present at the time because it was just all new and like moving so fast, I assume.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I didn't have a time to really breathe and like, yeah, like this is like really just kind of people reflect. It was just what's next, you know? And I always have to prove myself, right? And it was just more proving myself, showing people that I can do this, showing people that, you know, didn't even believe that I could be here, didn't think that my music was anything that I, you know what I mean? It was just always kind of trying to keep up. And I never got to sit back and just be like, wow, like I'm proud of myself.
What did you notice, I guess, about your mental health at that time? Like, you know, I feel like it's often a funny situation with people once they start to get success, like maybe they become more unhappy, or do they become more happy, or like how does that manifest in their life? Did you notice anything with your depression and your anxiety as you were playing Madison Square Garden and getting success and like all these things? How did that affect you on that side?
Oh my goodness. It was plain as day. You know, that's when the drugs kicked in. I didn't want to think about it at all. I didn't want to remember certain things. I was just trying to just block off a lot of these experiences that just made me feel like shit. That made me feel like, you know, this is not what I worked for. It's not what I was aiming for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just disappointment after disappointment within business, friends, family. Like, as soon as I got time, it was like a full 360. And over the time, I didn't want to believe in a lot of the things that were happening. There's no way, man. These are my, you know what I mean? And then a year later, you're eating those words. It was a lot of drugs, man. It was a lot of just continuing to live fast.
Yeah, no, I can definitely relate to that. As soon as I turned like 16 in high school, I really started using like drugs and alcohol to like medicate all of my depression and my relationship stuff. And like I was having really toxic relationships with women and just like had a really hard time staying faithful and only having one partner, and like all of this shame that I would feel around like messing around with girls or anything, I would really just use like drugs to kind of like disappear from that and kind of numb that pain, and eventually got sober. I've been sober for over 4 years now, and just the way that it's changed my life to really be able to feel those things and kind of be proud of it in that way and like really deal with them in like a mature kind of adult way and not just numb them and medicate has been life-changing. And it seems like you kind of have a newfound perspective now, like being on the other side of that, like where you can kind of realize the moment that you're in, and it seems like you're able to be a little bit more present now, which is cool to see.
Yeah, it's a blessing, you know? I haven't done anything in a year. I just smoke, drink a little bit. I haven't done anything in that in a year.
I think it's interesting, like looking at your career, obviously, like you were saying, it moves so fast in those first 3 years. And then obviously you've been kind of slower with your cadence to be dropping and stuff recently. Was that kind of intentional in you having a mindset of like, all right, I want to slow down and really focus on myself and kind of like get right and like see how I feel in that way, and then like the music will come back? Or what was kind of the thought process as your career like started to evolve?
It wasn't as much as slowing down and kind of coming back. It was more me like saying, I'm done. Like I was ready to quit it all. I was done. I was like,
really?
In a place, yeah. I was in a place I didn't think I'd be able to come back. And that was not for music. That was just for myself. Right? Like over the years, I have to look back and be like, I never cared about Denzel. I never asked if he's okay. You know, and that's me, obviously. But I never asked that to myself. I always, there's always Roy. That's all that's being dealt with. So it's like, I forgot all. I got speaking before us. I never worried about that. It's like I was trying to run away from him. Run away from his life. Run away from everything that he had going on. His problems. Everything. Right? And that is what. That's what kind of means it. I gotta do things for me now. Like really for me. I can't worry about anything else. I gotta sober up. I gotta change what I'm doing. I gotta stop a lot of the things that I'm doing right now. I was being wild, bro. Just, you know, sleep around, just doing nothing, drugs. Not making music, it's kind of like, wow, not being responsible at all. Just kind of just being wild, just drunk all the time, just doing nothing, bro. You know, just, I didn't care about myself. I didn't love myself. I didn't care. And that's where it came to. You know what I mean? I had to kind of fight, get out of that battle, and that was not easy. I had my manager, Hanks, had to come and see me. He came to my rooftop, gave it a good conversation. We had a good talk, and you know, that's what kind of like got me. I'm going again, you know. That one conversation, sometimes it just takes one thing, bro. It was that one conversation that really just made me say, okay, you know what, I gotta get back.
Yeah, that's why having that support system and like having people that you know care about you and have your best interest at heart and like tell you those hard truths in that moment, right? It's like the last thing that you want to hear that like kills your high or just like stops whatever ride you're on, but it ends up being like the most important. I know for me, as like we started to get success at Mad Happy and like the brand started to grow, is when I started to feel like worse and worse about myself. And it was like so funny how I had to put up this image of like this this successful entrepreneur of like this mental health brand who was thriving and like doing all these things, when in reality I didn't feel good about myself at all. I didn't get excited about anything that we were doing. And it's funny that you bring up like Denzel and that like childhood version of yourself, because that's what I had to tap into that really like changed my whole life. Was like there was a little Mason inside of me that was still kind of running the show or dictating like how I felt about myself, not this 28-year-old version of myself. And like you were saying that like you were trying to run away from him, but like the beauty is like you can run 1,000 miles per hour, like he's not going anywhere, like he's no running way. With you, right? So like so you can't really like outrun that in that way. And yeah. I'm wondering for you, like how were you able to come to that conclusion? Like did you work with a therapist? Were you just talking to homies, like doing your own research, or like how did you kind of get that breakthrough to get that new perspective?
Yeah, I still got to call that therapist back. I'm on a callback list.
Hey, better late than never, I guess. Yeah,
no therapy. It was really just my boys, man. Honestly, they were my backbone. I didn't have a backbone to walk with. There was new things in my life that were happening that forced me to be responsible very fast. But before that, before those things came to my life, I was already working on becoming that person that I am right now, that is with this whole new outlook and this refreshing feeling of how life could be and how it should be, not how anybody else wants it to use it. But yeah, it was something that was just, you know, with my voice, you know, just being there for me, holding me down, you know, me allowing myself to be completely full, open and honest with them, helped me, you know, just accept myself more. Right? It was just, I felt like so hard for me to accept so many things that I was going through, and started making me worry about other people's opinions and feelings, and you understand what I mean? You know, it was just my boys really that's kept me so grounded, kept me so, just let me know you're good, you're all right. You know what I mean? It really gave me that reassurance. I don't get it from anybody. You know what I mean? It was really just them. It's not bullshit. It's not yes. It was just honesty, just realism.
Yeah, I think people that can just like keep it authentic and like hold you down in that way, like you said, I think as people who deal with anxiety, it's like you know where the mind goes of like creating realities and things after thing that like aren't even about real life, and like you need those people to kind of check you and like bring you back down to earth. Like you talk about like a realism, I think is like so important of being a realist in that way of like I'm already like I'm nervous for this conversation that I have to have, and I've made up in my head what they're gonna say and then what I'm gonna say after and then after that, and it's like, bro, you haven't even done the first step yet. Like, you have no idea what's going to happen, right? It's like we're making up these things in our minds that haven't even happened, and they're causing us to have such like a physical and emotional reaction. I guess now, like, did you get to a place where you were kind of re-inspired to start making music again? Or like, how did that shift come about creatively once you kind of did that work on yourself and you were able to focus on your career again? Like, did you find like a newfound like excitement and passion?
There were a couple of things that brought me out of that. It was like cooking, and then after cooking, it became gardening.
Mm.
So now I found out how to find that place of peace for me. Right. So even if it's not those hobbies that I'm doing, I find those things of peace that bring me peace, and I do those things, whatever it is. Now I meditate. Right. It's something that I haven't done in ages, bro. So. You know, that's something that's been very good for me. So I just love being by the water and meditating. That's something that's new, right? So any little thing that can bring me peace, I'm gonna hold on to those things, and you know, keep that. And that's what gives me inspiration, whatever it is.
No, that's amazing. Yeah. No, it's just about like building. Like we talk about all the time. Like what are you doing for your self care? And like, there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's like for someone, it could be drawing a picture or going to hoop or going on a run or like whatever it is. And I think like as long as you have your things and you just are honest about what makes you feel good, it's not about looking cool or taking pictures or what anybody else thinks. It's like what makes you feel good, build your life around those things, and like make sure that you're doing those things as often as you can. And like that's taking care of your mental health, right? It doesn't have to be like going to therapy or talking about all these like sad things. I feel like that's why it's become so stigmatized and why people are still kind of scared of it. It's like you can cook, and like if that makes you feel good, like you're working on your mental health, right? Like it's just about unlocking like what those things are for you, and like that's what it's all about. So what's next, man? I mean, how are you thinking about like the future, or just kind of coming out of COVID now that you have your new kind of routine and things that you love? What are you looking forward to in your life right now?
Well, definitely looking forward to the music. I felt like I had such a long period of time where nobody understood what was going on. I said, I'm dropping an album. It's ready. It's not ready for another year. I feel like it's just been a long time. I'm really just ready to give them a new version of me that's very familiar still, right? I'm not that 20-year-old kid anymore, right? I'm 26 now. So my whole look, everything I've been through is different now. My experience is everything, right? So I want to just kind of give them that, get back on tour, get back to shows, the things I love and listen and I cherish, man, because the fan base I built, the people that come to see my shows, they like, bro, they're out of this world. It's like, it's always a rock show.
No, that's amazing. And I feel like change too, like speaking about that, you're not that 20-year-old kid or whatever, like change is such a natural and normal part of life that for some reason, like, people hate on, or it's like a thing of like, oh, like you switched up or whatever, like, oh, I missed the old Roy, or like, oh, what about this sound? It's like we should all be growing and changing and evolving like every year. Like if you're not changing, like that's actually more concerning of like you're not doing any work or like learning anything about yourself or growing. So like I think that's a beautiful mindset.
But people are gonna complain about that too, right? It's crazy. Like either or, they're still gonna complain. Oh, he's never changed. Still the same person from 5 years ago. Like, they're still going to complain. You can't make them happy.
Yeah. It's like, you can't do right by any means, but it seems like you really, like, have a newfound perspective and have done the work. And I think it's just awesome to talk to someone who like takes their mental health so seriously. And, you know, most people would look at a black artist from Toronto who's in the rap and R&B scene. And like, you wouldn't normally think about mental health in that way. And I feel like it's so important for you to be sharing your story and talking about these things. And like the representation for so many people that can really have, and like people that can inspire is super important, man. So you're super inspiring to me and obviously to so many other people out there. And it really means a lot for you to come on and share your story, Roy.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on this podcast, man. It was amazing, man. These kind of stories are what we need from, you know, the culture.
No, of course, dude. Lastly, I wanted to ask just like a couple quick questions about Drake. I feel like having a close relationship with him and having him be like someone who helped you kind of kickstart your career, I'm wondering like what things you've learned from him, or like have you taken anything from him as his ability to like stay on top for so long, or like creatively or business-wise, or like what are some things that you've learned from Drake?
Oh man, there's so many things that I learned just besides the business, you know. Like one thing he's always told me is just, you know, just to keep being myself. I always had a difficult time trying to find out who to be in this industry, which is kind of how I was in high school. So
yeah,
I feel like, yeah, for me, he always just kind of reinstilled in me to just continue to be myself and not worry and just continue to do that, because that is what got you here in the first place.
I think that's such like great advice, and especially even for kids, or like when you're growing up or in high school or college, it's all about like fitting in and like how can I be like everyone else. And really the most beautiful thing that we all have is our individuality and like our uniqueness of what makes us a one of one. And like the more that you can tap into that, I think the more you can just feel more proud and stand out and go along your path, whatever that path is.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to stand out. I love it.
100%, dude. Lastly, one final question that we ask every guest on the show, but Roy, what makes you mad happy? You like that one?
What makes me mad happy? It has to be eating some food, man.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to cook, by the way?
I'm a sucker for something.
Oh yeah, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, thank you so much again, man. Till next time.
Peace, brother. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Mad Happy Podcast. 63. We're just rolling and rolling and rolling. Middle of summer here now. Kind of moving fast. I feel like the first half of this year blew by, and now it's already, what, August something? Is really just crazy. I think the year is moving so fast, and things are moving just as fast over here. I think especially when you're working so hard, time just kind of flies by, and it's funny, you know, growing up, the summer obviously used to be the time where we go on trips and do nothing or chill or sleep in, and definitely miss being a kid now that I'm an adult in the summertime. Definitely does not hit the same. But again, big shout out to Roy for coming on. Love talking to him. I'm sure you guys are all blown away with his story. Really, really special dude, and wish him nothing but the best. And I'm super excited for his new record. Definitely going to be bumping that all week. And definitely hope you guys check it out as well. Thanks again for listening, and have a great weekend as always. Peace and love. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.